This is Dave Glowatz. Welcome to another in my series of interviews with Ben Jarofsky, who writes on government and politics for the Chicago Reader and who's on the phone with me today. Welcome to the broadcast, Ben.
Thanks, Dave.
Today we're talking about your article that appeared in the Reader on March 1st, 2012, and it's titled, "My Property Tax Bill is Defective. I Want a Refund."
Oh my God, yes. Can I get a refund, Dave, please?
And as the title suggests, you go through your most recent property tax bill and talk about how it's increased and talk about the things that you think the property taxes are wasted on. And one of the things you write about is that what you pay on property taxes gets wasted on stupid stuff like the NATO and G8 summits. And I'm wondering how you can say that when the city claims that the federal government will pay for the summits.
Oh, it's my mistake. I'm going to send out a correction. You mean I actually don't believe something the city tells me? Although I must say, as we speak, at this very moment, I'm just getting over my jubilation at the story coming out the internet that President Obama has decided to move the G8 portion of the G8 NATO summit from Chicago to Camp David. So whatever portion of my tax bill that will go to that spectacle, it will be lowered by the fact that the G8 won't be here.
This breaking news.
Yes, it is breaking news. Well, first of all, the city offers no substantiation for their claim that the federal government will pick up the taxes. Secondly, this is a point actually that Paul Krugman made today, the great Paul Krugman, the columnist for the New York Times, something I've been kind of thinking about for a while, Dave, so it's fresh out of my mind, which is always scary. And that is, as our federal government wastes its money on stupid things, or cuts back on funding to cities like Chicago or states like Illinois, as they have been doing, then that puts an imperative on the cities and states to cut back. I really recommend that you read Paul Krugman's column today on this point. So it's all kind of tied together. The bottom line is, Dave, I think that undoubtedly public funds will be spent, Chicago's local funds will be spent on the spectacle, and that we won't be fully reimbursed. It's not clear at all how much the federal government is going to spend and what they consider a rightful expenditure. And if, God forbid, there's lawsuits and litigation that ensue from the protests, I'm sure the federal government will not be paying for that.
And the city just paid out a huge lawsuit that resulted from recent protests.
That is correct. And there's already been costs and expenses with this. I think I cut that from the article, one of the articles that I wrote on G8. This is interesting. To get the G8 NATO summits in town, the city had to negotiate with some of the conventions that were coming to McCormick Place, and so they had to move them around, and part of getting them to agree to move around was to sweeten the pot, so to speak, by either reducing the cost of the convention that they would have to pay or picking up some of the costs. So we've already spent money or obligated money for this. Now, with the G8 not coming to town, I'm wondering if they're going to rearrange the convention schedules again.
It's a developing story.
Yeah, it's a developing story. So final point is, I don't believe the city when they assure us that the federal government would pick up all the
costs. Let's talk about some of the other costs that our property taxes are paying for. Among the government entities, you say waste taxpayers' money is the mayoral-appointed Board of Education for Chicago Public Schools. Now, Chicago had a slightly different formulation of school boards where, while the mayor appointed them, the members were nominated by local school councils throughout the city until a 1995 state law created the current configuration.
It's very complicated. Your basic point is well taken, that there was far more independence on that board because the people that the mayor selected came from a list of suggested board appointees that were put together by the local school council. The local school councils essentially gave the mayor a list of people that he could select from. That only existed, Dave, I believe, for 6 years, 5 years. I can't remember how long that era of school reform lasted before, as you say, Mayor Daley changed it. The basic point I make about our Board of Education, and I've been becoming more and more frustrated with them over the years, that they're supposed to be an oversight body. Their job is to do just that, oversee the schools and make certain that the decisions that the chief administrator of the schools enact, that they enact, are in the best interests of the schools and the kids and teachers, et cetera, et cetera. And they just, the reality is they just serve as rubber stamps for the mayor. And so if they're going to ignore their oversight responsibilities and simply act as a rubber stamp approving the mayor's ideas, then why have them at all? What's the point?
Do you think that that former configuration with the local school councils recommending names to the mayor, would that serve us better?
Yeah, I do believe that. I think that in general, and this sounds incredibly naive, and oh my goodness, I'm so
idealistic.
Idealistic. I believe in democracy as opposed to autocracy or whatever it is we have here. So the idea that we have discussion and debate, that we have different opinions, you know, people weighing in. I think they should be respectful of one another as much as we can. But I think that would benefit us. And instead, for the last, how long it's been since 95, Dave? 17 years? 17 years, we've had sort of like an iron rule at the school, a top-down system. And, you know, it's funny. When Daley was in charge, universally he was praised as the education mayor who was innovative and bright in how he was changing the system. He was praised this way by both editorial boards of the mainstream paper and the larger civic community. And that was sort of the standard way of looking at him. And now, you know, as soon as he's gone, the line is, oh my God, we have to change everything that has been done because what has been done with the schools isn't working. It's amazing how things stop working overnight when the old mayor left and the new mayor came in. And the reality is they were pretty much doing the same things with Mayor Emanuel and the schools that we're doing with Mayor Daley, and he's being widely praised for doing them the way Mayor Daley was. So if they aren't working, maybe we should try a more democratic approach.
And finally, I wonder if our local governments would have to rely so heavily on property taxes, because that's, again, what we're talking about, if we had other sources of revenue. For example, about a year ago, one of the Chicago-based state representatives for our legislature introduced a bill in the General Assembly that would tax financial transactions by stock and commodity exchanges and other speculative financial ventures. And that bill, if it became law, would have charged 1/100 of 1%, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it adds up, of the value of each transaction. What do you think of that idea?
It's a great idea. We may have talked about this when I did my column about the Chicago Mercantile Exchange and the tax break they got, which will all cost us. It's all part of the same process. Who was the state rep that came up with that idea?
It was Mary Flowers.
Mary Flowers. Good for her. I think we should look for other means of taxation. I think that the taxing system we have, you know, this is one of my favorite themes, is very regressive. It hits hardest at people who can least afford it. I think we should look for more progressive ways to fund government. Like I joke in the column, every time I pay my property tax bill, it sort of brings out the inner Tea Party person in me. But actually, it's not so much a joke. I rant and rail about government when I have to pay the bill. So I do believe, Dave, we should be wiser about how we spend the money, and we should be wiser about how we collect it.
Well, that's all we've got time for. Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks, Dave.
If you'd like to hear more of my interviews with Ben, please go to MrRadio.org, where you'll find instructions on how to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss a single interview. Or you can search on iTunes for Ben Jarofsky or for me, Dave Glowatz. Thanks for listening.